What really gets my dick hard is...
So fucking what?
Hey, this is Michael Wagner, and you're listening to Metal Up Your Podcast.
Welcome to Metal Up Your Podcast. I'm Ethan Luck.
And I'm Clint Wells.
This is episode number 72, and we're going to go ahead and continue this year by year thing, A Year in the Life of Metallica, and this is 1984.
I'm pretty stoked because, as many of our listeners know, Ride the Lightning, all these years later, is still my favorite Metallica record of all time.
This is your year.
This is my year.
It is.
That record is so special and so powerful, and I'm excited to camp out in Metalla world of that year.
Most people don't know this, but in Japan, it's actually the year of the Clint.
That's right.
Yeah.
Actually, many people know that.
Many Japanese people.
millions and millions of Japanese people. Before we do that, if you're joining us for the first time, we're an All Metallica podcast. Me and Ethan get together once a week when we can. We're both touring musicians and we're on the road a lot, but we try to do it once a week, even if we're on the road, which I am today in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and talk about our favorite metal band, the Mighty Metallica. If your friend just told us about us, or you found us on iTunes, or maybe you heard about us on Alpha Metallica, I don't know. But welcome. We're excited to talk and be nerds with you.
Yes, we are.
The Metallica community.
Agreed. Yeah.
Before we get into that, though, I did want to mention something.
Oh,
so
do
for
it.
Those of you who don't know, Ethan Luck is making his debut solo reggae record.
It's true.
With our friend Paul Mo.
Paul?
And... Paul? I got to brag on him because he started a Kickstarter, which those can be kind of dicey when you start a Kickstarter platform.
True.
For those of you don't know what it is, it's a crowdsourced thing where you basically say, hey, I want to make a record. It's going to cost this much. And I'm asking you on the front end to donate to the record. And, you know, if you don't hit the mark, you don't get the funds and all this stuff. And Ethan, I think in your first day, you had more than half of it. And then by your second day, you had reached your goal, right?
Yeah, I hit my goal within 48 hours. I mean, less than 48 hours. It was completely unexpected. I know a couple of the podcast listeners have donated. But like I was telling Clint before we started this, I literally did not push this thing on either podcast yet. I didn't call in any favors of friends to tweet about it for me. None of that. Anything that was posted was out of the goodwill and good hearts of the people out there.
That's amazing, dude. Congrats.
Thanks, man. Yeah, so if you guys are interested, you can go to Kickstarter, just search Ethan Luck and you'll find it, or you can go to any of my social media pages, which is Ethan Luck. There's a link on there. Yeah, go watch the video. Go check out the rewards. Check out, there's a free download of a new song on there. You can download for free and check it out if you dig it. Want to contribute? I would be much appreciative. And also, you might be confused, like, well, you hit your goal, so what? Why do I need to go do that? Well, it's basically... If you think about it this way, you're pre-ordering the record. And also on top of that, we do what are called stretch goals. So right now I just put those up to today where basically in $1,000 increments, if I hit this, then you get another bonus song. If I hit this, you get that, so forth. Basically, if it keeps going up and up and up and I hit certain amounts of money, then I'm going to give straight back to the people that donated extra content, songs, and stuff like that.
Yeah, and let me put it in these terms so Ethan doesn't have to say it this way. So when you make a budget for this, you want to make sure that your budget is reasonable because you want to make sure you hit it. Now, the truth is, you could definitely make a better record for more.
Of course.
And so what's really encouraging about hitting your goals so quick and being able to create new stretch goals is, if Ethan's budget is $8,000 and he can actually make it for $13,000, that means the record's going to be better. That either means he can have more time with Paul in the studio, or he can have other guest musicians who have a really high day rate come in and help make it. Like
Clint Wells, just, for instance.
Right. I'm going to come play Hurdy Gurdy all over that.
Oh, absolutely.
So anyway, go check it out. I've heard the demos that are going to turn into this record, and it's really, really good. And, you know, it's you guys in a new culture that just has stopped valuing art, at least monetarily. It's a really cool way to say, look, I'm going to financially support this. You're going to get the record plus whatever other incentives you buy.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm stoked about the whole project. I think it's really great and really happy for you.
Well, thanks,
man. Everyone should check it out.
Thank you very much. Man, I'm not crying. You're crying.
Are you dying? It's just raining on my face.
I'm not crying. I'm dying. Oh, man.
Well, cool. So, all right, back to the podcast. If you do like the show and you haven't yet, I urge you, I implore you, please, good people of the Metal Up Your Podcast community, go check out iTunes, leave us a positive review. Goes a long way, helps us out visibly. It helps us out with the algorithms, all this stuff. We have a thing called Patreon, which has become a really special part of the show. You're going to hear about it in detail a little later. We have new patrons this week. And we always, at the bare minimum, try to provide some time to say thank you. So,
of course.
We have James Haas, David Moses, Morgan Mathis, and Jesse House. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. All right. Give them a hand, for everybody.
The,
yeah.
For the support.
I love, too, our new patrons. We have a Haas and a House.
Yeah, James Haas and Jesse House. I mean, are they in cahoots?
I think they are. I think James is his German cousin, Haas.
Now, one of the cool things that we've done, similar to the Kickstarter, is we have incentives for you guys who want to donate financially to the show. And by the way, we're doing a Patreon-exclusive giveaway this month. We can't announce the names now because I'm not at home with all the stuff, but 5 Metalla prizes will be given to our patrons, and we're going to do patron-exclusive giveaways for the next few months.
That's right.
Kind of say thank you to all them. One of the cool things you can get, though, is Cover Our World Blackened Volume 1, in which Ethan and I covered 6 or 7 kind of deep-cut Metallica songs, and that's exclusive to the patrons. We're working on Volume 2 right now, and we're actually going to play a rough mix of Where the Wild Things Are from Volume 2 at the end of the episode.
That's right. And you probably maybe, I don't know, heard a clip of it on Instagram. Clint did some Instagram live stuff this last week. So you've probably heard a little tidbit of it. But yeah, we're going to play you, what is turning into one of Clint's best covers at the end of the show.
It's such a weird song, too. So anyway, we're going to talk about Patreon later, but we just wanted to say thank you so much to the 4 people who hopped on the ride. We're on all the social stuff. You can just look up Metal Up Your Podcast. Ethan and I interact every day on Twitter and Instagram, and we've been doing a lot of these Instagram lives where we basically just hang out with you guys. So yeah. Facebook and YouTube, why would you go to YouTube ever? Good Lord. I don't know, but we're there.
I go there to watch old wrestling videos. And
I go there to like watch crap, but I wouldn't go there to listen to a podcast.
No, the only time I've gone there to listen to what is I consider a podcast, even though it's not on those platforms, is It's Electric with Lars. There's a few episodes on there, but because I don't have Apple Music. So that's really old wrestling videos and Lars are the only reasons
Did you see the Maynard James Keenan one yet?
I haven't listened to it yet, but I know you're really excited about it.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I cannot say enough good things about the new A Perfect Circle record. It's not getting great reviews. It's quite different than their previous 2 records. I mean, their last record was 14 fucking years ago. Everyone's like, it's different. It doesn't sound like they did over a decade ago. Like, yeah, dude, we're all older, dude. The world's different.
Exactly.
But anyway, it's called Eat the Elephant. I think it's absolutely fucking amazing. Should we tell them about our website? We have a pretty cool website.
Yeah, it's metalupyourpodcast.com. Clint and I kind of built this thing over the course of a few weeks, and it's a one-stop shop for everything. You can listen to the episodes on there. You can buy merch. There's links to all sorts of other podcasts that Clint and I have been guests on. Yeah, like I said, one-stop shop. Anything you want to know about us and what's going on with us is all there.
It's for the unique listener who just can't get enough of Clint and Ethan.
I know.
Which is basically our moms.
It's definitely not my mom. I know that.
I know. I felt bad after I said that. Crap. Our parents.
Oh, it's my second cousin who's going there.
We love hearing from you guys. We read a handful of emails every week. Every week we get very charming, cool emails. Sometimes people are telling us their Metallica stories. Sometimes people are telling us what we get wrong or what they like about the show. Let's dip into the email corner and hear from some of our fans.
I say we do it. All right, our first email is from Mr. Danny Santana. So a while ago on Twitter, I posed a question and wanted to get your thoughts on it for a laugh. If you were in charge of naming a Metallica beer, a la Dave Mustaine's beer, what would you call it? I'm calling mine Injustice for Ale. That's great, by the way.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
we'll answer this question in a sec, but he says, anyways, great 1983 episode. I was following the timeline on Metallica.com as the episode progressed to check out the posters and set list for the shows you mentioned. You're both doing well. Thank you, Danny. That's actually a great idea. If you're listening to any of the Year in the Life of Metallica series we're doing, is to follow along on Metallica.com because They have it all up there.
Yeah, Metallica.com is an amazing resource as a fan. And, you know, we call a lot of our notes for these episodes from their website.
Right, yeah. So,
and it is cool seeing all those, like, you can actually see the show posters from some of these, especially in the early days of these early shows.
If you look at, I think it's in 1983, there might be a scan of a ticket stub of Cliff's first show, maybe.
Oh,
it's
wow.
really cool. There's a lot of great stuff on Metallica.com. So to answer your question about naming a beer after Metallica.
For whom the beer tolls.
For whom the beer tolls. There you go. That's Clint's for sure.
Sweet Amber names itself.
Sweet Amber names itself, exactly. That's you know, an amber infused with peach.
Right.
Gosh, what would I do with mine? I'm trying to think here.
Yeah. It's tick tock.
Tick tock. Jeez. It's like
you can do it.
It's
dude.
Like
I
being
believe
on a,
in you.
It's like being on a game show. All of a sudden it's like you watch The Price is Right at home, you're like, "Oh my god, I could totally get that." And then you get on stage, you're like, $10? I'm gonna go ahead and say my find a name of Metallica beer. I would say Eye of the Brew Holder.
There we go.
There it is.
There you did. Do you?
Did I?
Do you? All right. Thanks, Danny.
Thank you, Danny.
Always good to hear from Danny. Luke Webster writes, "Dear Clint and Ethan, I've been loving the Instagram live videos. They help me feel connected to the Metal Up Your Podcast family." Aw, that's nice. He says, "I can't wait for the band's U.S. arena tour. I've already bought tickets to at least two shows, and since I'll turn 18 while they're in my area, that number could go up." Very cool. "I've been digging into the Clint and Ethan discography via a combination of Spotify, YouTube, and SoundCloud, and I've got to say that I'm really digging it."
Nice.
Yeah, Ethan and I make a lot of our own music that you can go find on those various platforms.
On the things, apparently. YouTube.
You know. Yeah, weird. He says, "I've been thinking about writing a demo with some riffs I have laying around, but I don't have drums or a good microphone for vocals. I also don't have a leopard fingerless glove."
Well, that's the biggest issue.
Yeah, you want to go ahead and put all of your money towards that.
Start with that, yeah.
He says, "I was wondering if you had any advice for a beginning musician who's just starting out and didn't know exactly how to get the ball rolling." We'll answer that question in a second. He goes on to say, "As always, I really enjoy the podcast and appreciate everything you guys do to make it a really behind the scenes, as well as during the episodes with your wild tangents and impersonations. I particularly love the Dave Mustaine Back to the Future bit recently. Sincerely, Luke."
That was a good kind of off the cuff bit that got
a good bit.
That ball got rolling real fast.
It was a good bit. I was crying in my hotel room when we were doing it.
Agreed.
Luke, I'm not sure what kind of computer you have. I know that a lot of Macs come with, they come with free software called GarageBand, which is actually pretty decent to get started with.
Oh yeah, definitely.
In terms of microphones, you know what you could probably literally do, and this is going to sound so shitty, but what you should do is go to a guitar center and find a dude and say, "Hey man, my budget's $300. I want to start recording my guitar, some riffs and some vocals." And he can help you. There's various microphones you could get that are cheap and affordable.
I mean, I'd say
you're going to want to get a condenser mic.
I would say even if you maybe couldn't afford to go to the condenser mic route, even just a good old Shure SM57 that are around $100, and they're great on vocals, great on guitar, and pretty much anything.
Yeah, but he's going to need an interface for that.
Yeah. Well, I guess then, yeah. Or there could be something, whatever your budget is, that I know Clint has one. It would be a condenser USB mic.
Yeah, it's the Blue Yeti, and I think I got it for $120.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Luke, write back in and tell us what your budget is, and we'll kind of take it more to the private sphere, and we'll get you sorted out. We'll get you some help.
Oh, it'll get real private.
Oh, will it?
How long of a cable do you need?
Oh, Lord. Okay, NC-17 episode,
whoa,
I guess.
Sorry. Anyways, next email is from our new patron, James Haas. From Germany, New Jersey, of course. My friend turned me on to your podcast a few weeks back, and I found myself listening every free second I have. I routinely come home and work on my battle vest after work for my first Metallica concert ever. That's pretty cool.
Nice.
I was wondering if you guys had any extra patches I could purchase so that I can add your patch to my vest before it fills up. I'll be sure to save you a spot. Do we have some left on our site?
I don't think we do.
Okay, we have to reorder those. We do need to reorder them anyways.
Yeah, it's true.
We'll have to hit up old Trevor at 85 Supply.
Yep.
I've never been able to see the guys live and finally get the chance on September 8th, 2018 in Grand Forks, North Dakota. I love listening to you guys and your antics are fantastic. I'm only on episode 9 so far, and I hope that Torben continues his random visits. LOL. Love the show. Keep up the great work, guys. Metallica forever, James. Well, I hate to break it to you, but Torben never shows up again. I'm so sorry.
Dude, when you get to like episode, whatever it was, whatever our best of year episode.
Oh, God.
We have a whole Torben segment for your pleasure.
Listen, James, any impressions you've heard so far, there's going to be more of them and more of each one. New ones will form and they'll keep going. They will never die.
Yeah. In fact, I don't know. Should we be even apologizing for that? I'm sorry, James, but there's quite a bit more to come.
I'm going to do what I find insanely frustrating on when someone goes on a rant on social media. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. Look, it is what it is. Talk about meaningless phrases.
I know. It is what it
sorry,
is,
sorry, not
bro.
Sorry. It is what it is. No shit. You can't both be sorry and not sorry. It doesn't work.
Look, Clint, I'm sorry that we're not in the same room. I'm not really sorry, though.
I've always loved the lyric in R.E.M.'s Losing My Religion. Oh, no, I've said too much. I haven't said enough. Yeah. Well, which is it?
Which one is it, Michael Stipe?
Michael, listen. Listen, have you said too much? Have you not said enough? Are you alone in the corner?
Are you?
Do you? Okay.
Thank you, James.
St. Matthew writes, Clint, Ethan, what's up, my dudes? Love the podcast as always. This is an idea I came up with maybe you can consider, given your big connections with the fans over social media. He says, Anthony Fantano sometimes tweets out asking his fans for their controversial opinions and quote-unquote hot takes on music. Then he makes videos called Let's Argue, where he discusses the fans' submissions. I had the idea that you could do a similar thing, ask the fans of the podcast for some unpopular or interesting opinions on Metallica via Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, and whatever else it takes, maybe even Patreon. Then you could compile the best ones and make a whole episode out of discussing these opinions. He says, I think it's a cool idea, hopefully one you can think about. Anyway, keep up the great work. You'll always be one of my favorite podcasts ever. Peace. Wow, thanks, dude.
Thank you. Well, that sounds like a lot of work.
should we just open that up now? I mean...
Sure. I mean, I will say, try to think of something creative, because a lot of things that are, you know, quote-unquote, maybe unpopular or controversial with Metallica, we've covered a lot of that stuff.
Let's say this. Send us an email, metalupreepodcastshow@gmail.com. And don't do the What If Reload and Load Were One album. Don't do the Saint Anger Sucks. Don't do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly.
If you guys can get creative, that would be fun. Yeah, I agree.
Don't do the obvious ones. You know, What If It Wasn't Cliff? You know, we've kind of gone through that quite a bit.
Yeah, we've done it. We have a really good episode. Well, I don't know if it's good. That's up to you guys. It was a fun episode called, it's called What If. And we answered, you know, I think around 200, you know, What If scenarios around Metallica. And that's episode 18 or 28,
yeah,
or one or whatever.
Yeah, 573. I think it's that one.
Always good to hear from you, St. Matthew. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next email is from, this is a cool name, by the way, Milorad Filipovic.
Milorad Filipovic.
I hope I'm saying that right.
I hope you are.
Hey, Clint and Ethan, greetings from Serbia. Whoa. Serbia. Nice.
Nice.
I listen to you regularly in my car, and I must say I really love the show and share your love for the band. I joined the Metallica train sometime around Saint Anger. You are brave. Well, I guess not brave. I mean, that's the first thing you heard, then whatever. And I've never left it since. Sorry, it was my own tangent in my head.
Yeah, I liked you sort of arguing yourself out of that. That was fascinating.
Did I just say that out loud?
Yes.
One thing that has struck me over the years is the amount of negativity on the internet that follows every new album. I was wondering if the sheer exposure to everybody's opinion is a result of that, or are we, getting more and more spoiled and assume the band exists only to satisfy ourselves? Keep doing a great job. I just want to say how much I respect the fact that you guys get to do a quality 2-hour show with all your other stuff going on in your lives. Well, Milorad, thank you for the email, and thank your parents for me for a really cool name. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's right. Sorry, he or she. I'm actually not really sure.
I think people are spoiled fucks now.
Of course, yeah.
This shit just sets me off. I think I'm seeing it with this Perfect Circle stuff. You know, people are just loving giving it shit, and I think a lot of people haven't bought it. They've heard it on Spotify, and there's just something missing. There's when you haven't invested something in the music, it's just disposable.
Very.
So you listen to, like, I bought the record for $13. That doesn't make me a hero or anything, but I'll be honest, my first listen of it, I was like, ooh, if this is like really piano heavy, mellow, strange, non a Perfect Circle sounding
music.
Right. But because I spent my goddamn cash on it, I was like, I'm going to fucking listen to this and try to find what it is about it. And I'm on, like, you know, my 10th or 11th listen, and it's blowing my fucking mind.
Good.
And I've got a friend who's also a big fan, but he's kind of a Spotify cat, and he listened to it once, and he was like, that's not for me. And I just think that part of that, this is sort of all tangentially connected to Milorad's question, but people are just able to just hear it for free and then shit about it and complain about it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like somebody giving you a free meal and you eat the whole thing and they slaved and worked over it and you're like, yeah, that was shit.
Yeah. I remember when I was a religious person and I was doing this thing where we were like giving food to some homeless people down in downtown Birmingham, and we had prepared these like baskets and shit of food to give people. And I remember giving it to this guy. I was maybe like 17 years old, and he looked in it and was like, oh, I don't like whatever the food was. Like, oh, I don't like bananas. I was like, but aren't you starving and shit?
Right.
Aren't you homeless? But anyway, and I think also people just feel invincible behind the computer screen. So they're, you know.
They absolutely do, yeah.
James has that great comment, I believe it's on the making of Spit Out the Bone, where Lars goes, they're like working out the main riff, and Lars goes, they will headbang. And James goes, just don't read the comments.
It's true, though. I mean, there's, you know, we have, you know, doing this podcast over the last, you know, God, what have we been, month 16 or 17? You know, we've gotten fairly little amount of negativity towards the podcast. It was some at the beginning, and it's kind of one of those things. It's like, cool, man. You don't like it. You don't like it. You can just move on. Find something else.
I think at this point we've weeded it out.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah, cool.
Anyway, thanks, Milorad. Glad to hear that we have some folks in Serbia listening to the show.
Yeah, that's so very awesome. Cool.
Our friend and patron Andy Brown writes, hey, brothers, I've been wanting to unload all my Metal Up Your Podcast love in an email, but I'll save that for the Nashville party over some beverages and in person. That's going to be fun, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Ethan and I are throwing a party in Nashville the night before the Nashville show. I believe it's in January.
It's in January, 2019. Yeah.
Good God, who knows? I may have transitioned into a female. I may be transgender by then.
All right, that's cool.
So,
what's your name?
That's how far away it is.
What are you going to change your name to?
Clintania?
Clarice.
Hello, Clarice. He does have more here. He says, I just wanted to tell you guys thanks for reigniting my love for Metallica and even records of theirs I'd never gotten into, like Load or Reload, and records I haven't listened to in forever, like Kill 'Em All. I don't have many friends that are into Metallica, or all my old friends that got me into them have outgrown them or moved on. So listening to your show is awesome every time. Your EP is great, as well as the Lunar Satan jams. I think that's what sets you both apart. The fact that you're both musicians yourselves gives a unique perspective most Metallica podcasts don't have. How about that sentence?
Yeah.
Like, there are so many Metallica podcasts that sentence exists.
I know. That's crazy.
All right. He says, thanks for all you do and for giving back. Hardwired experience. What the fuck? What he's referencing is, and we can't go into too many details about this yet because we're still in the beginning stages of it, but Ethan and I, as Metal Crew Podcast, are giving away a Hardwired experience on the North American tour this year.
Doing our best. Just, yeah.
We're going to doing it.
Doing our best.
He says, I got one of the closer packages for the Birmingham show, which we're going to be at that show too. He says, I figured for my first show, I'm going to ride the rail and check out their museum and gear. I've seen all that. It's fucking awesome and worth it. He says, after being a fan since I was 11 and 87, I'm finally getting around to seeing them live. Better late than never. Take it easy and stay safe out on the road. Thanks again for doing all that you do. Your fan and older brother in the Metal Up Your Podcast family, Andy. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you, Andy. That's awesome.
It's a sweet message. We will definitely be seeing you in Nashville and Birmingham.
Heck yeah, dude. Next email is from Andrew Belly. Hey, Ethan and Clint. Had a chance to listen to Cover Our World Blackened episode. Just wanted to say great work. It was really interesting to hear your interpretation of these songs and the commentary on how you pulled them apart, got inside them, recorded them, and what they meant to you. You guys really do put a heap of effort and work into this podcast. It's really appreciated. Every time I listen to other podcasts, I always end up thinking, this just isn't Metal Up Your Podcast. Metal Up Your Podcast is so well put together, and that comes down to just how much you guys love Metallica and their fans. Again, guys, keep up the great work. Andrew, a wallaby.
Wallaby.
Good day, you wallaby. Oh, thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, that's really sweet. And I think that we've just been inspired by how fan-friendly Metallica is.
Exactly, so. Yeah.
If we're going to devote our time and kind of orient our lives around this kind of little side project we got, we want to We want to take after our heroes, the boys in Anthrax.
Exactly. We love Bruce Dickinson.
Our last email.
I do.
Our last email is from our new friend, patron of the show, world traveler, Dan Cantor. He says, hey guys, absolutely love the EP. It's been getting me through rough travel days. He travels crazy.
Oh yeah, extensively.
He says, quick comment on the binge San Diego and your discussion about Wherever I May Roam and the fade out. I might be reading into it, but I always thought they faded out Rome because it was a musical way to symbolically imply the roaming goes on and they will forever be roaming. I thought the same thing about Fade to Black and that fade out. Yeah, interesting.
That's a good take on it for sure.
Definitely makes sense. He says, anyway, brought back memories from my parents' basement of all the fade out solos like Mr. Crowley and another killer Aussie song called Won't Be Coming Home, where I used to manually use my first four track to bounce the fade as loud as possible to hear every last note. Dude, that is... I so resonate with that.
Oh, yeah. My little boom box I had growing up, whenever I was trying to figure out if there was a solo during the fade out, like a Fade to Black, I would just crank that thing. And then you're like sitting there trying to play along with it, and you don't realize the next song is about to start, and it blows your head off.
And what is it on Fade to Black? Does it go straight from that into like Escape or something? Trapped Under Ice, yeah. He says, he ends his email by saying, anyway, just a thought. Can't wait for next week's episode. It's the highlight of my week. That's very sweet.
That's awesome. Dan Cantor, thank you. I would love to have Dan on the show sometime as a fellow traveler and tour guy.
Yeah, we were talking privately the other day.
Privately. And,
we were talking about private.
How long was your flight?
We're going to try to get connected on he's going to several shows when they come to the States.
Cool.
So I think we're going to try to hang with him at some point.
Awesome.
Maybe have him on the show even. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's as simple as that. You can send us an email at metalupyourpodcastshow@gmail.com, and we might even read it on the goddamn thing.
You might.
Let's get out of here.
Let's do it. Hey, this is Ethan and Clint from Metal Up Your Podcast, and we want to talk to you about something we love called Patreon.
That's right. Patreon is a way for fans of the show to give back to the show, to donate money that helps us in quality and content. And not only that, but we've actually come up with all sorts of fun incentives to give back to you for supporting the show.
Exactly. For instance, if you donate $5 or more, you get access to Cover Our World Blackened, which is the official Metal Up Your Podcast Metallica cover EP.
That's right, and that's the only way to get it. In addition to the EP, we also give you priority email access, meaning we'll read your email first on the show. We give you early access to Patreon-exclusive merchandise, Patreon-exclusive giveaways, and any other side projects that Ethan and I might be involved in.
There's all sorts of things you can look at on there and you can donate to. Go check it out, patreon.com/metalupyourpodcast. How do you spell that, Clint?
patreon.com/metalupyourpodcast. And if you really think about it, $5 a month for an entire year, that's really just like a cup of coffee a month. So go check it out. Thanks, everyone. Peace.
Adios. All right, man. Here we go. 1984.
Here we go, dude.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. About to get on the roller coaster.
Here we go. No, here we go. Here we go.
I love the Matterhorn. By the way, Clint, if you ever mention it, I apologize. The notes I sent you, I wrote episode 71 at the top. It's actually 72.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Please forgive me.
I know not what to do. Please forgive me. I fucking can't stop loving you.
Is that the Tenacious D version?
I guess. Okay, so we kick off here. Now, this has kind of turned into a very important part of the Metallica story, because it inspired one of all of our favorite songs, Fade to Black, on January... I actually looked this up, and the date that we had in our notes was wrong. It's January 17th, Metallica's gear was stolen.
Really? Well, somebody needs to update Metallica.com.
Yeah, so they actually played on the 15th at South River, at Union Jack in South River, New Jersey. They had a show scheduled on the 18th in Boston at the Channel that was canceled due to the gear that was stolen the night before.
There it is.
So January 20th at JB's Rock in 3 in Middleton, New Jersey, they used Anthrax's gear. We actually have a clip of that from the Kill 'Em All box set. Let's check out and hear what young James has to say about
Jimmy
that.
James.
Hello, Middleton! Any of you seen us before? A couple of you, huh? You might notice a few things missing. We ran into a bit of bad luck. some motherfuckers in Boston stole everything we own except our guitars. So Anthrax was kind enough to lend us some amps and drums and shit like that. So we can play for you tonight.
I love when he's talking about his gear being gone, he does those random like, it's gone. Yeah. It's almost like it's very Mustaine-y, I think.
It is Mustaine-y.
Oh, well, our gear's not here.
Wow, I got kicked out of the band. I'm not going to do it.
Okay, I'll do it. I'd imagine that Dave's bus ride home in 1983 it was a lot of this. I'm on this bus now. I'm going to start Megadeth. Hopefully I meet some guy named Dave Ellison.
Oh my god, I love the Dear Diary of Dave on the bus ride home. Yeah,
instead of Dear Diary, he always says, "Row." But it's funny though.
I'm gonna start a band faster and heavier than Metallica.
Yeah, we're gonna take over the world and destroy the guys.
Can we pull over so I can go potty?
I'm this many, I can't hold it.
I shouldn't have had those tacos.
Oh jeez.
Oh god.
Oh jeez.
The cheese is old and moldy. Where is the bathroom?
Was that Encino Man?
Encino Man.
Donde le está la sanitario? Gazongas.
Oh my god. Gazongas. Oh, gazongas. Oh. Okay.
Okay, anyways, back to Metallica in 1984.
So one of the things that is a bummer, like, it's never good to have your gear stolen. I had a guitar that I loved stolen from the Highline Ballroom in Manhattan in 2009. It's a huge bummer. I played that same venue like 3 years later, and I thought how amazing would it be if that guitar was just like in a corner somewhere.
Right, like you just missed it.
Like, fuck. So it's never cool when gear gets stolen, but sometimes shit gets stolen. You're like, ah, that's okay. One of the bummers about the gear that they had stolen was James had this kind of modded Marshall head.
Yeah.
That he kind of considered a pretty big part of his unique sound.
Well, it was his first Marshall head, right?
Right, yeah. But he'd had it like some like, you know, Bay Area or maybe even LA area tech had like kind of modded it and done something special to it. And they actually ran into, when they were going to, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but when they were recording with Fleming in Denmark, they actually spent a lot of time trying to recreate what was different about that head.
Yeah, I've read that.
And the incident, of course, inspired Fade to Black, which does seem a bit silly. There was a funny quote from Birth School Metallica Death, that book, where James said, "I'm sure I wasn't really thinking of killing myself." He said, "But it was my favorite Marshall amp, man."
And then, you know, in that instance, life does seem to fade away.
Well, and it's hard to argue with the, you know, inscrutable fact that it does drift further every day.
I know. I mean, you might be able to disprove that, but I'm fairly certain that's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. It is what happens.
You know, it is what it is, man.
You know what? Sorry, not sorry, but that head's gone.
Yeah, dude. Sorry, not sorry, James.
January 7th through the 22nd, and this happened while they were on the last North American leg of the Kill 'Em All for One tour with Raven. But those gigs were with Anthrax, right?
Yeah, they started. Yeah, the Anthrax was on that leg. But yeah, this is the tour still spilling over from 1983, still technically promoting Kill 'Em All.
Seems like early in January. Oh, you know, they were with Overkill, a band called Overkill.
Oh, was it Overkill?
A band called Sneak Attack opened on the 15th. It's an interesting tour.
Yeah.
Middleton is with Anthrax. Let's see if the show after Middleton was... So they played on the 21st at the Rio Theater in Valley Stream, New York. Let's take a look at the set list. It doesn't have an opener.
I mean, they're using Anthrax's gear. I would imagine either they were opening shows or they just
got the gear and took it with them on tour.
Or they just stole it from Anthrax. Sorry, not sorry, Scott Ian.
We stole some gear from our label mates, Anthrax.
Oh, Charlie Benante's drums.
Okay.
Anyways.
So, January 20th, 1984 is when Jumpin' the Fire single was released in Europe by Music for Nations. Of course, the B-sides were the fake live recordings of Seek and Destroy and Phantom Lord. Cover of the single was That Badass Demon. I didn't know this. Painted by Les Edwards.
I don't know him.
Oh, really? He doesn't live in Nashville.
He doesn't live on my street, so I don't know Les.
Les Edwards, who and the drawing or the painting originally appeared on the cover of the book The Devils of D-Day.
Interesting.
The Buttress of Windsor.
You know what I find interesting is it seems like back then singles were released after the record came out.
Well, that's because they were trying to break it in Europe.
Right, right. But I mean, that as we'll talk about later.
I see what you mean.
You know what I mean?
I see what you mean.
Kill 'Em All came out, and you know they had already been to Europe a bit. But like, I don't know. It's just interesting. It happens twice in 1984 where they release a single after the record has come out.
Right, because Elektra re-releases Ride the Lightning a little later.
But I guess,
but
I don't know. I mean,
we are jumping ahead of
we
ourselves.
We are jumping ahead of ourselves. Although, you know, when I was younger, that you know, I had the Black Album, and then this, you know, whatever, Nothing Else Matters single came out, and I was like, fuck yeah, B-side. Nowadays, there's not a B-side to a single.
Yeah, well, that if you already were hip to the record, then that was the fucking sauce, dude.
Exactly. That was just, you had your slice of pizza, you had your pepperoni, and then all of a sudden, it's like, dude, I'm about to get some killer hot sauce to put on top of this thing.
Dude, I remember getting the singles for the first Perfect Circle record because they, like, the Oristis single had this great, had the demo of Oristis.
Yeah.
With Billy Howardell singing it instead of Maynard.
Crazy.
The Hollow had this great live version of The Hollow. See, that was just when shit was hard to get. And because it was hard to get, you cared about it more.
Right. That's when you had to either, you know, read about it in a magazine or go down to your local record store or big, if, you know, if you had Tower Records in your town or whatever, and look up at the chalkboard and be like, upcoming releases, okay. Oh, dude, the Unforgiven single comes out next week. Awesome. You know, and you come right back down that day and pick it up.
Totally. Totally.
Totally.
We went to a... Yeah, totally.
Yeah, seriously.
We went to a local record store today, and they had some really cool stuff, but the prices were pretty high. And they had a whole room with all these old Metal Edge magazines, Rip magazines.
Yes.
Kerrang, Circus.
Hit Parader.
But they were like $9 each. I couldn't do it.
That's crazy. I wish I would have saved online when I was younger.
Oh my God, dude. Have I sent you pictures of my bunk yet?
No. You've told me about it.
Completely covered in Metallica
awesome.
And Pantera and Kiss
yes.
pictures from Guitar World magazine.
I would love to just be in that bunk some night while you're...
I'll give you a naked virtual tour.
Actually, can you just FaceTime me later after the gig?
Totally.
Okay. This is getting
February
weird.
3rd through 12th. They go on what was entitled the 7 Days of Hell Tour, opening for Venom in Europe. I'm sure that was fun. And in fact, I know it was fun because I have a little excerpt here from Mark Eglinton's book, So Let It Be Written. Can I read this to you, Ethan?
Oh, please, yes.
May I read to you, sir? Good sir.
I'm about to go to bed, Dad. I'm tucked in. Will you read me something?
Okay, little Ethan. Or what did my daughter refer to you as, little boy?
Yeah, she kept calling me little boy.
Little boy!
Sarah, when I was hanging out with Sarah and Pete last weekend, she brought that up. It's pretty funny.
That's awesome.
All right. He says, of the 7 Days of Hell tour, just as they had on the U.S. tour with Venom the previous year, Metallica went, quote-unquote, fucking nuts on the first night, as Venom guitarist Jeff Dunn bluntly described it. The two bands had serious chemistry, and that led to debauched drinking and chaos that continued until the tour finale at the Aardshock Festival in Holland on February 12th. In the festival crowd that day was German metal fan Mili Pastroza, who went on to form uncompromising thrash band Creator.
With a K.
They would become one of Europe's premier thrash flag bearers during the 1980s and refuse to change their style in the lean days of the 90s when thrash was driven largely underground by none other than Metallica themselves via the Mighty Black Album.
Welp.
I added that in part, by the way. I want credit for that bit of poetry. Okay.
Thanks for the story, Dad. Will you make sure the door's cracked open?
Don't
shut it all the way.
The door's cracked in case you have to make a pee-pee again.
Can I have some warm milk?
How many people? Because you know Ace Frehley has this reputation. How many people started bands like Creator because they were at a Metallica show as a kid?
Yeah.
And just inspired to go on and do, and you know, I know Avenged Sevenfold are like that.
Right. Like, oh, I got to do it. I have to do it. I just watch this band.
Even Ace Frehley is responsible for people like Kirk Hammett and Scott Ian and Dimebag Darrell.
Right. Yeah.
Marty Friedman's a huge Ace Frehley guy.
Yeah.
It must be a real trip to know that you're inspiring the future generations of great bands.
Not only just like bands at all, but like bands that went on to become also gigantic bands.
And then they went on to form gigantic bands, and then they inspired
it's crazy.
To become
I know.
More gigantic bands.
And look at our podcast now. We were inspired by Metallica, and look how huge we are.
And look at all the we've inspired 1,800 million other podcasts to come out.
I know. And we have fans like Dan Cantor.
Yeah.
He's a jet setter. And he's all over the world.
I don't know if Dan's got much going on. I don't know if he's accomplished enough in his career. But we'll continue trying to inspire him.
Well, you know, we still support you, Dan.
We're moving right along here on the choo-choo train of time.
It's interesting, like, you know, when you start typing all this stuff out about what happened during these years, it seems like a ton, but it's not actually a ton if you clump together the tours, you know what I mean? Plus, later on, they take off a bunch of time and stuff, but like that. It's just weird. It's like, I feel like we should be talking for like 2 more hours about this.
Well, we're going to, when we get to the making of Lightning, we're going to camp out there for a hot minute.
Of course. One hot minute, if you will.
And actually, we're there now. February 20th.
And here we are.
The Ride the Lightning recording sessions begin through March 14th. Copenhagen, Denmark, at Sweet Silence Studios. They had heard of Fleming because he had done this Rainbow record called Difficult to Cure. Lars, obviously a music freak, was aware of it. Also, King Diamond of Merciful Fate had been recording there, which also was, I'm sure, very tantalizing for the Metallica boys.
Absolutely.
And so this is kind of, we enter in Flaming Rasmussen.
Yes.
Who would, of course, go on to do our beloved Master of Puppets and our dearly beloved Injustice for All.
And really saved Injustice for All from Mike Klink. Maybe not putting out a good quality product. But, it's crazy to think that, like, I mean, history was made the day that they walked in that studio before they even hit record. Like, that partnership would go on for several records. And essentially, he had this gigantic hand in this band exploding on the underground.
Well, you know, it is definitely up for debate, but reasonably in contention that Master of Puppets is the greatest heavy metal record of all time.
Yeah.
And so just to be let alone Lightning and Justice, good God.
I know, seriously.
Amazing legacy. We have an episode completely dedicated to our love of Flemming Rasmussen. You can go find it, click on the thing and follow the thing.
That's the specific iTunes instructions.
Right. I actually read that from an instruction manual.
Yeah,
click on the thing.
Tim Cook
wrote
that himself.
Totally.
Go to the thing and click on the thing.
I have a few more little excerpts from Mark Eglinton's book about this time.
Awesome.
If, again, you wouldn't mind if I read them.
I'm still awake, Dad.
He says, there's an immediate problem. Hetfield's favorite guitar amp had disappeared at the Boston show with the, you know, aforementioned guitar amp. Says Hetfield and Rasmussen had to put their heads together to arrive at a solution as Rasmussen... So he's quoting Fleming now. Fleming says, we started out playing some Kill 'Em All tracks so I could hear what he was talking about in terms of his tone. He said, we started testing guitar amps, which took a couple of days. The original amp had been modified, which meant, as Rasmussen bluntly stated, nobody remembered what the fuck had gone on, so we were all kind of lost. Well, because that's true, because some of these mods, you don't know what they are. They replace this tube and this capacitor.
Right, exactly.
He says, what we ended up with was something very different, which from my point of view was brilliant because I could then work on getting the sounds I wanted. And he talks about how even at this early stage, James kind of had developed a unique guitar sound. And he liked the fact that he kind of had his own thing going on. I like the idea of James being that honed in on what was unique about Metallica, even in those early days, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's cool that, you know, obviously James came in like gunning for this guitar tone because that's all he was used to. That's all he knew up to this point. And never worked with a producer of Flaming's caliber, you know? So it was cool that in the journey to try to replicate that tone, he came into his own and found this whole new tone that was so Hetfield for that record.
Right.
That's so Hetfield.
Hashtag Hetfield.
Sorry, not sorry about it.
Fleming also does take a few interesting little jabs at Lars. He talks about how... he says, I thought Lars was absolutely useless at first. This is from Mick Wall's book, Inner Night. He says, the very first thing I asked when he started playing was, does everything start on an upbeat? And he went, what's an upbeat?
Yeah.
So they actually got a drum roadie whose name also was Fleming Larson.
Yeah.
To kind of give Lars a crash course in basic drumming.
Yeah. It's a well-known story now, but yeah, he got drum lessons before they started recording the drum tracks.
Did you know that? Do you know where the title "Ride the Lightning" comes from?
Actually, don't.
Apparently, Kirk von Hammerschmidt, was reading The Stand by Stephen King, which is a novel I've loved and adored since I was a young man. And he says there's a passage in the book about riding the lightning. He told James about it. Voila, history
Boom.
Made.
So Kirk basically named Ride the Lightning. He wrote Enter Sandman riff.
He wrote The Bridge to Creeping Death.
He's contributed some key things in Metallica world.
Well, you know, this comes up. People talk about, what do you think about Kirk? And Kirk this, and Kirk, he is playing this and that. He gets a pass from me forever.
Yep.
For contributing those creative moments and more.
Oh yeah,
he has like eight co-writes.
Oh yeah,
between Justice or between Puppets and Lightning. Furthermore, his guitar playing on let's just take the guitar solo of Ride the Lightning title track.
Right,
pass for life. Let alone his entire oeuvre, if you will, of And Justice for All and his total masterpiece guitar playing on the Black Album.
Yeah, agreed. I mean,
so I don't give a shit.
You could take just the outro solo to Fade to Black for me, and I'm like, okay, you're awesome. It doesn't have to be as fast as
right.
you want, but I mean, it's so melodic and beautiful, and
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
One of the things I like about Lightning, just to piggyback off what you're saying, is Mustaine can no longer take credit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Because Kill 'Em All, he's like, he took my lead breaks. And then I had a taco and pooped on a bus once. I need new underwear again. But Ride the Lightning is all Kirk, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a special time. And I love that they're like, because Dave is a good writer. And he co-wrote a lot of Kill 'Em All. So, obviously, they don't have Dave. So, they're kind of like, hey, boys, we need you guys to step up. And both Cliff and Kirk stepped up and brought serious heat.
Now, there's still co-writes for Mustaine on this record. But, however,
I think it's Ride the Lightning and, I believe, Call of Cthulhu.
Does he have one on Creeping Death? Or no?
No, he does not.
But
that motherfucker cannot have a piece of my Creeping Death.
But this is Kirk's baby finally. He gets to go in there and write all his own solos. I mean, as we've talked about on Kill 'Em All, it's like he kind of did what Dave did and added a little bit, augmented them a little bit. But for the most part, they were kind of Dave's ideas. And so this is a great time for Kirk to really set his foot in this band as their lead guitar player.
Totally. And he hit it out of the fucking park. March 27th through August 29th, the band played various shows in Europe, the UK, and the US. Now, this is an interesting part of the Metallica story. Apparently, a tour entitled the Hell on Earth Tour was planned with other Megaforce acts, The Rods and Exciter, but was canceled due to poor ticket sales.
It's crazy.
Which is odd to think about.
I mean, maybe it was a thing that was maybe some bigger venues, and I mean, yeah, Metallica could probably sell out.
Maybe they overbooked it or something.
Yeah, maybe they tried the stadium tour back then.
Yeah, totally.
Like, all right, guys, Yankee Stadium, your second record just came out. You're still not on Elektra.
Tell you what, we just killed Lemoore's in Brooklyn. We got 300 hard tickets sold. We're gonna go ahead and hit the Staples Center. Madison Square Garden's next.
Candlestick Park in San Francisco, so you can do a hometown show.
Totally. Central Park in New York again.
That was supposed to be the first Metallica night at the Giant Stadium, but it didn't happen. It never happened.
Did you notice that James was not there for the Metallica night?
I did. I also noticed that when Lars posted a photo of him, Trujillo, and Hammett on the old private jet, there was no Hetfield there either. I wonder if he stayed over in Europe on vacation with his family or something.
And did you notice that they all were drinking drinky drinks?
Yeah.
In the photo?
I don't think this.
Is that my new thing? Just
drinky drinks in the photos? I mean, I don't know. Obviously, like, not all of them are sober. I mean, James is sober, but I don't think they hit it hard like they used to. But like, yeah, let's have a beer or two on the flight or a glass of wine or something.
No, I just thought it was interesting because you don't ever see them with drinks anymore.
No, you don't.
Haven't in so long, you know?
What's next? Lars is going to post a picture of the mound of cocaine on the on the pilot's seat.
I hope so.
Yeah, that's great. It was interesting that he wasn't in, because I watched as much as I could on the even though I'm a Dodgers fan, Metallica Day at the Giant Stadium, And I was like, wait, just old Kirky Kirk's out there by himself doing the Star Spangled Banner?
It's Kirky Kirk doing the thingy thing.
The thingy thing.
I do like when James does it because they always kind of trick out a snake bite. Like, you know what I mean? They make. Yeah. And like, I don't really follow sports that much. I don't have a problem with it or anything, but. Anytime they do something weird with a snake bite, I'm like, dang it.
Well, they always auction off those guitars too after every Metallica night.
Which is just so great through via the All Within My Hands Foundation.
Right. So like last year, it was like it was just a black snake bite with a big San Francisco logo on it.
Right.
And then they put them up for charity. It's amazing.
And they do something with their amps too. Like they put some cool little like San Francisco Metallica hybrid artwork.
I will say I wish Kirk's tone was a little better during the seventh inning stretch for Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
I know. I don't understand.
I don't either. It makes it. He plays the thing fine, but it makes them sound like it sound like a Shreds video.
Yeah, it's a head scratcher for me.
I know. I'm not sure, Kirk. Next year. I'm not a Giants fan, but if you want me there, I'm happy to guitar tech for you and dial that tone in a little differently. I'll even accompany you if James can't make it.
One of my friends that plays in Taylor Swift's band, they share a tech. He shares a tech with Kirk when Metallica's not touring.
Oh, wow.
And he reached out to try to get that dude on the show, and the guy said no.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. I mean, I imagine the dudes that are closest with Metallica, they're not even... Didn't someone reach out to Lars's tech for us and it's like, I can't talk about anything like that?
Yes.
And it's not like we want these guys on the show to like get the dirt, you know? We're not TMZ over here.
No, I think our fans would like to kind of just hear about what their day's like, but I understand also if they'd rather not do that. I think as the show grows and as we establish more trust with the inner circles of Metallica's people, I think that it's becoming more and more possible. But we still, you know, we still have work to do in that department.
Well, we're willing to put in the work.
We're willing to work for that relationship, guys.
We'll work for you.
Welcome to Podcast Relationships with Clinton Ethan.
Hi, is your relationship struggling right now?
Is your relationship with the inner circle of the band you love and the subject of your podcast struggling?
Did you lose the desire for long walks on the beach?
Would you like to disassemble and reassemble a motorcycle on the beach while the sun comes up with your favorite band?
Did you stop calling them rom-coms and go back to romantic comedies? Get a clue.
If the answer is yes, dial 7 and take the blue pill.
Beep.
Okay, what are we doing? Are we losing our minds today?
Yes, that's exactly what we're doing. Honestly, my brain has been a bit just like mush this week with this whole Kickstarter thing. It's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah.
You just have, I mean, like launching it, I was super nervous because like, am I going to get to my goal and all this stuff? But like, I talked to numerous friends who have launched and had successful Kickstarter campaigns, so it was a lot. You have to literally just have your phone in your hand most of the day. Anytime someone sends a message or anytime someone pledges something, what I did at least, you know, you send people a message, hey, thanks for this and that. Posting update videos like crazy, you know, it's a lot. But it's going to be worth it, everybody. I promise you that.
It's just going to be you singing I Shot the Sheriff, like with an out-of-tune acoustic guitar for 90 minutes.
Yep, exactly.
I Shot the Sheriff.
Don't give it away.
Give it away. All right, where are we at on this? Good God. July 30th, Ride the Lightning is released into the world. The world would never be the same.
Oh, amazing.
This is a bit of a sad moment, too, in some ways. Megaforce Records, of course, put it out. Megaforce being Johnny Z and Marsha's label. Brought the band in New York, well, New Jersey, rather. Believed in them, got Kill 'Em All made, got them on the road. And then they just reached the end. Metallica began to grow so much that they just couldn't handle it. I very much encourage you all to check out our interview with Michael Alago, who was the A&R rep at Elektra, who got Metallica from Megaforce.
Right.
But at this point, they're still in Megaforce. They put the record out, and this was the last time that they would work together.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, there's interviews with Johnny Z where he talks about, you know, I love these dudes. I love the first two records we put out. But at this point, I couldn't take them any further.
Right.
They needed Michael Alago to come in and court them and drag them over to Elektra and sign with them in order to, you know, to get their goal from day one, to get their music in as many hands as possible.
Yeah, I mean, they just needed a bigger label. They were selling so many records, and you know, you're dealing with having to press all that shit and ship it all.
Right,
they were, like,
yeah.
Shipping it, they were shipping it all like out of their house and stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
And they had Music for Nations doing Europe, but they were kind of taking care of all the stateside stuff. And that, when the band started to take off, it's just they needed bigger infrastructure.
Yes, they did.
And you know, Michael actually is pretty candid about some of the details of the deal. And, you know, they made out okay. They were taken care of.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
I think they were given royalty points for, like, the next several years on those two releases, so...
Yeah, not bad.
I mean, when Metallica started to go global, I mean, they ended up selling 6 million copies of Lightning, so...
Yeah, they could probably got at least about $100.
They made about $100, and they got a wonderful, luxurious gift card to Dave & Buster's.
Yeah, and then a 72 Trans Am that needed a new carburetor.
Yeah, it's like a car that won't run. Like, well, you get a new alternator and carburetor and engine block, you'd be all right. That's a pretty nice car, dude.
Wow, thanks, man.
Wow, thank you. Do you?
Is it?
September 12th is when they do finally officially sign with Ilago. The next step towards world domination. November 16th through December 20th, they're on the amazingly titled Bang the Head That Doesn't Bang European Tour.
Sorry, not sorry. That's kind of one of those. Bang the Head That Doesn't Bang. I can't. Yeah. I can't.
Well, I can't, dude. It won't bang.
It won't.
Well,
bang it.
She bangs. She bangs.
She bangs. She bangs.
Did I ever tell you about when I was working at a CD store when that William Hung record came out?
Oh, William Hung.
And this was the moment that I knew that as a human species, we were utterly and totally fucked. It's because when he went on TV and became famous for being mentally handicapped singing pop songs guy, and they had someone exploited it and made a record, and when that fucking record came out, there was a line wrapped around my store.
Was he there or something, or just there?
No.
Just there to buy it?
No, and that was in Birmingham, Alabama, let alone all over the world.
Right,
day.
William Hung.
And they're just buying it. It's funny. You know, I'm like taking their money like, you fucking evil, stupid idiot.
Well, I mean, the exploitation thing sucks. I hope the dude made a little cash on the deal at least.
Well, I mean, it was all covers.
It's all covers, but.
And, you know, I'm sure that he didn't strike me as incredibly business savvy.
Probably not.
The Bang the Head That Doesn't Bang European Tour. We talk a lot about that in our Ride the Lightning episode. And we're actually coming up soon. We're going to do the Ride the Lightning box set. So we're going to be in Ride the Lightning world for a hot minute.
Yeah, for sure.
November 19th, Elektra re-releases Ride the Lightning, and they do their first headlining tour of Europe. 25 shows. The band Tank is opening. Never heard of Tank.
I never listened to Tank.
Think of all the bands, Ethan. I mean, I know you have. I know we have. Think of all the bands that just didn't make it, just didn't do it.
That opened for Metallica, even.
Just think of, like, every time you go in a green room,
yeah,
every band written on the wall is a band that didn't make it.
Here's the thing. Most bands that have ever existed didn't make it.
Isn't that so depressing?
It's crazy. If most of the bands in the world that existed did make it, we would have had, you know, quantity over quality a long time ago. That's what it is now, because everyone can make a record on their laptop and put it on Spotify the next day. Now it's everybody's out there. You got, everyone can make a record. Everyone can do this, but it's not to say that it's going to be successful or not.
Bruce Springsteen did a really great keynote speaker thing from South by Southwest in like 2014, maybe.
Okay.
And he was talking about how, like, being a kid in the 50s and 60s, he was like, the thing about playing guitar, he's like, there just weren't that many guitars in the world.
Right, yeah.
Like, because guitars had only really been mass produced for like 15 or 20 years at that point. And he's like, you think, just, he was just sort of extrapolating that to, you know, if you were in a band with a guitar, that was such a unique thing.
Of course.
Because there just weren't even that many fucking guitars.
I know, it's crazy.
And now it's just like, everyone's in a band, everyone's got a song, and now you can so easily get it to listeners, which is great.
Yeah, there's definite plus sides to that.
But it's just, we're in a pebble in a waterfall situation. I remember reading an interview with Tom York where he was talking about, God, he was talking about maybe In Rainbows, which is just a stunning, stunning piece of beautiful art. And he was on the Alec Baldwin podcast talking about it.
Okay.
And Alec Baldwin was like, how'd the record do? You know, and he was like, man, it was a pebble in a waterfall. Like, just, It's hard to get anyone to even care about records we put out.
Here's my advice to everybody. Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Please, for the love of God, stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
Oh, I mean, that's all we got to say about that. It is what it is.
Well, I know you're going to have it your way or nothing at all, but believe me, I think you're moving too fast.
I love that you concluded that chorus for us.
Dude, I had that crazy, sexy, cool record. I was obsessed with it.
TLC was great.
I was remember Red Light Special? That was a big song off that. And Creep, So I Creep. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I used to have a crush on T-Boss.
Oh, T-Boss. Yeah, she was cute. Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
And Chili.
I think Chili was my girl.
November 23rd, this is our last note for 1984. Creeping Death singles released to coincide with the band's European tour. The B-side is The Garage Days Revisited. The B-side is titled Garage Days Revisited.
Yeah, titled, yeah.
And had this is when we first hear Am I Evil and Blitzkrieg, which, good God, I love Blitzkrieg.
I know. I love both of them, but Blitzkrieg is so good.
I probably would take Blitzkrieg over Am I Evil. Am I Evil's long.
It is very long. What I love about them titling the B-sides Garage Days Revisited is, like, when I first got Garage Days Revisited, the actual cover EP, my first thought was like, well, what about Revisited? Where is that? That has to exist. Yeah. Why would they call it this? And it wasn't until years and years and years later, with like the, you know, internet coming out and stuff, none of my friends knew. And people, you know, there was always rumors there was an EP they did back in the 80s. I'm like, no, I can't find it.
Yeah, it kind of builds in its own drama.
It does.
Like, that Traveling Wilburys record, didn't they like call their first record Volume 3? So everyone's like, whoa, what is that? You know,
wait,
like,
a second, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Hold on a darn minute.
I never heard Volume 1 or Volume 2.
Oh, there is a Volume 1. They did a they did a Volume 1, but their second record was called Volume 3.
Maybe that was their suggested volume to listen to it at. Like, hey, man, this stuff's kind of chill, so Volume 3 is good.
Or maybe, and this is painful to say, maybe George Harrison, Jeff Lynne, Roy Orbison, Tom Petty, or Bob Dylan never learned to count.
Oh, man. You think? That's a shame.
Occam's razor, the simplest explanation is usually the right one.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah, you're on to something, Clint.
All their management, all their agents, their A&R reps, their producers, their engineers, none of them could count from 1 to 3.
Well,
properly.
Geez. Will someone at least get to Jeff Lynne and Bob Dylan right now and teach them how to count? I just said learn them. Learn them how to count.
Let me learn you how to count now, son.
I learned myself how to speak.
Well, you know what I did before my brain went mush.
What's that, Papa?
I learned myself how to count, but while I drank so much, I got the case of the wet brain. And my brain... my brain turned to smush, and my head turned to mush.
Well, that's a shame, man. So you never learn to count past anything? Just, what do you know, one?
No, I don't know. I learned to count like this. 1, 3, 4, 5. I just never learned a 2, Ethan.
Well, I hope you learn it one day.
Well, brain's gone full mush. So.
Do you only drink 5 beers in a 6-pack at all times? There's number 1, number 3.
Well, my brain went full mush, so.
Yeah, that happens, man. I get it. Well, I hope you learn number 2 one day.
I don't know why that tickles me so much.
It tickles my ears right now with my headphones on.
Tell me this. You and I have very busy lives, and we haven't been able to see each other in person in the last few weeks.
I know. I miss you.
What have you been listening to any Metallica, like, privately? What have you been digging into?
Man, what's funny is since, I guess it's been what, maybe we've done 3 remote episodes?
Yeah.
Since then, I was kind of like backing off Metallica a little bit.
Yeah,
just because it's been like crazy, crazy listening to Metallica. The thing, though, I also have a good excuse too, is that I'm about to go on this tour with that reggae band Morgan Heritage. So I've been listening to the set list that I'm playing a ton and learning those songs. And also, there's another band that was formed out of a band called Superdrag called The Leaves of Memory that I play for every once in a while, which is not often. And we're doing a rehearsal soon, so I've been relearning those songs and new songs, and so I'm in like song learning world right now. So
yeah, life's been busy.
It's been
yeah.
busy. So, and on top of that, with the Kickstarter thing, and I'm also trying to finish writing that record of my own, and it's just overwhelming.
Well, you're going to be all right.
I hope so.
You be all right.
You know, in the words of Robert Marley, every little ting is going to be all right.
I'll tell you what, let's let our listeners get the hell out of here. Let's give them a break.
Let's play them a track of yours, huh? What do you say?
So here's the deal. Ethan and I have decided that one of the many ways that we want to say thank you to the patrons is we want to provide these exclusive cover songs for you guys. Now, Volume 1 came out a few months ago, and it's gotten pretty decent response. People tend to like it. It has been met with favor by our beloved Metallica community.
Some may say love.
We're going to release Volume 1 to the general public when Volume 2 comes out, which is probably going to be similar to last year. It's probably going to be November-ish. But I did go ahead and do a fan specifically requested for me to do Where the Wild Things Are. I gave it a shot. It's turning out really cool. I'm really proud of it.
Heck yeah.
It's not mixed, of course. Our friend Nathan Thomas will be mixing it again. But it's our way to say thanks. Now, you can go to patreon.com, patreon.com/metalupyourpodcast. You can give $1. You can give $5. As I said in the commercial earlier, just $5 a month is like a couple of cups of coffee a month. So we're really doing our best to make the quality strong and give you guys some good stuff. We really appreciate all of your time, all of you who spend time with us in your cars or at work or whatever you're doing. So
yeah, thank you.
Just a way to say thank you.
Thank you. Well, so you want to play them the whole thing?
Let's just play it out. Well, fuck it. We'll do it live.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Yeah, we'll just say bye and let it play out.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much. We'll see you on the flip-flop. Peace.
Adios.
Yeah. toy soldiers off to war.
Say, then I would say, delete that.